pleasure as always to welcome you to each and every episode of the First X Minutes podcast. My name is Rotimi Daramola. I'm your host, and you can find more podcast content on Twitter. My brain had to scan for like a second there. One for the goals, ONEFORTHEDOALS. Phew, what a weekend of football, especially on Saturday, considering the fact that this week we're going to be having Champions League football round 3 of the 2021-2022 UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, UEFA Conference League, however I like to call UEFA Conference League or UEFA Europa League B matches, and of course the big boys have to play on Saturday. Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea, PSG had to play on Friday, I think, against Angers. Let one early goal in before coming back to steal the game 2-1. But Saturday was crazy. Saturday was. Fans were all over the place. As early as 12:30, Mohamed Salah, Firmino getting a hat trick. There was this particular quote by a talk sport commentator who covered the game between Watford and Liverpool. I'm trying to look for the tweet because I retweeted it on my own Twitter page. It says, "What a goal! It's magnificent from Mo Salah. He's as mesmerizing as Messi, as ruthless as Ronaldo. Magic Mo Salah is Liverpool's latest icon." Of course, I didn't say it emotion for emotion the way the commentator blotted it out on the afternoon, but it was just a perfect description of how deadly, how ruthless Mohamed Salah has been in the past few games. Remember how he deleted 1-2 on his way to helping Liverpool get a second against the Citizens. I'm talking about Guardiola's Citizens, however you like to call it, just before the international break. He picked it up from there, and then of course had to delete a few other Watford players before finding the back of the net, the top corner, I would say, top left-hand corner of the net with his left boot. Well, speaking of that, fans left that and moved on to Manchester City, Burnley, or Southampton getting their first win of the season against Leeds, or let me see now. The biggest one of the 3 o'clock kickoff, or 4 o'clock kickoff, or 2 o'clock kickoff, depending on where you live in the world. Leicester City taking on Manchester United, and there's been a lot of talk about the game. Maguire was, for me, I think if you ask me, happy to talk about the game, I would say for starters, I don't think Maguire should have started the game. He looked weak, he looked out of sorts, and I think Leicester City knew this. It's just like the popular videos we usually watch on this National Geographic television, when the pack of lions, they know how to target the weakest one of the pack, and these foxes that were playing at the King Power Stadium knew exactly who to target. So Kelechi Iheanacho was always putting on pressure on Harry Maguire, and I think that was how they got their equalizing goal. Yes, I think the first half ended in a 1-1 draw. Kelechi forcing, not even necessarily forcing him, just closing down on Harry Maguire quickly enough to ensure that he intercepted the pass from De Gea. Was it from a defender? I'm not sure now. It was either from a defender or De Gea. And I think gave the pass to Tielemans. Yeah, before Tielemans put in that beauty. I want to argue that Tielemans actually knew what he was doing. I mean, that was not meant to be a cross. That was aimed for a specific corner of De Gea's goalpost, and Tielemans hit the bullseye. Of course, from the game, there's been a lot of Ole out. Manchester United are not serious. News coming out from Mr. Here We Go says that the Manchester United board are backing Ronaldo. Sorry, did I say Ronaldo? Of course, they're backing Ronaldo. I mean, they didn't want him to go to City, so that's why they brought him to United, right? They're backing Mr. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And then they think he's doing a good job, whatever that means. I don't know. Speaking of Ronaldo, there was this infographic I saw from The Athletic. Currently, no forward has made fewer pressures than Ronaldo. all forwards with 270 plus minutes played in the Premier League in the 2021-2022 season. So it's like a chart, infography of sorts, and of strikers or forwards who have made more presses in the Premier League so far. And Cristiano Ronaldo is rock bottom with 2.7 pressures per 90. The highest we have is Wilfred Zaha and Neil Maupay, 20 pressures per 90 minutes of football played. Well, what do you expect from a 35, 36 something year old player who is playing at a club, I dare say, that brought in him in because they didn't want him to go to a rival club. I dare say, if I'm wrong, I'd definitely love to be corrected, but as things stand, as my memory serves me, I think that is the reason why Ronaldo is playing in the red half of Manchester, in Manchester, of course, and not playing in the blue half, yes, of Manchester. And speaking of Manchester, Manchester City pulled off a 2-0 win against Burnley. I don't think it was as easy as it looked, but Kevin De Bruyne's goal, great goal from Kevin De Bruyne. I think I saw the first goal also. It was crappy, but Bernardo Silva got that one in for Pep Guardiola's men. Moving on, there were some games. Okay, there were any major games in La Liga until Sunday when Barcelona faced Valencia. But in the Italian Serie A, Milan took on Verona. Crazy game. First, it was Verona scoring the first goal from open play. I think it was a mistake from the Milan defense, and then the penalty, and then Milan coming from behind, Olivier Giroud, and then getting the third goal of the game for themselves, which was the fifth goal in total of the game, from an own goal from a Hellas Verona player. And I was saying to myself, I said, look, if Verona could not defeat this Milan side, whose first choice goalkeeper was out injured, whose deadly midfielder, Brahim Diaz, Midfield forward, that streams, that likes to bust forward once in a while, or most of the time, Brahim Diaz, if they didn't have him, if they didn't have Theo Hernandez, if they didn't have Leo for the better part of the beginning of the game, I think Rebic even went out injured at some point. I think it's safe to say that AC Milan, no doubt, maybe not in the shout for contention for top four, but you can almost always sense that they're up there, probably top two, top three. Any team who is fighting for a spot in a top three spot will definitely have AC Milan to contend. They will not back down. They will not go away easily. They will always keep fighting and fighting. The game against Juventus earlier this season was one testament. The way they went at Atalanta earlier this season, also remember getting the first goal of the game, I think, in as quickly as the 27th second or the first minute there. But let me just put it, I think they will not go away anytime soon. I think the boys are young. Stefano Pioli has a fantastic side. And all things being equal, you'll see this one. Yeah, Juventus are definitely on the rise. I think four wins on the bounce now. Dogged against AS Roma. We'll get to that in a bit. But sticking with AC Milan, I think that any side, like I said earlier, any side contending for a top three spot in the Serie A will definitely have AC Milan to contend with. Let's go to the old lady. Theirs was to play on Sunday. First goal, and was the only goal for Moise Kean, I think, in the 16th minute. Moise Kean tucking that one in, and of course Roma threw everything they had, and it was vintage Juventus, let's put it that way, putting their blood on the line, celebrating the penalty save, and of course defensive clearance, and of course it kind of like brought back the old memories, kind of like the Juve that was really, really difficult to beat. And I think I saw something about the refereeing from the game. Before the penalty, I think Tammy Abraham had put the ball in the back of the net, but of course, the referee called it off and insisted that there was going to be a penalty had to be played. And on Twitter, at Football Italia, referee Daniel Osato went against the guidelines by blowing the whistle too early for a Roma penalty, therefore denying the Tammy Abraham goal, and Wojciech Szczesny then saved the spot kick. I'm not sure what to think of that. Probably should have waited a few minutes to let the ball to let the block maybe play advantage or something, I think, and then see how he played out before blowing his whistle. Because if he had played advantage, then Roma would have definitely equalized. Because, like I said earlier, Chelsea's former player Abraham actually took the ball into the back of the net, but of course, the referee was too, I don't want to use the word, let me use enthusiastic, let's put it that way. He was too enthusiastic. Called for a penalty instead. Well, step up penalty taker to take it, and then the penalty taker missed it. Juventus with their first win in four. And of course, October again, another visit for Jose Mourinho. We remember that 3 years apart, in 2018, Manchester United visited Turin under the, what's it called now? Leadership of a certain Jose Mourinho, and then lost to Juventus 1-0. Fast forward 3 years later, AS Roma visits Turin, and of course, who is in charge? Yeah, Jose Mourinho. How does the scoreline end? Of course, another 1-0 defeat for the Portuguese gaffer. Safe to say that Jose Mourinho has some Turin October blues when it comes to managing sides and pitting them against the old lady in Turin. Oh, I almost forgot. The day before that game, there was end-to-end drama in the capital, or the capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L-E, that's what they call capital in Rome, right? So that's why there's the Derby della Capitale between Lazio and Roma. If you remember, a few weeks back, there was a certain ex-banker, Maurizio Sarri, won against, he's not an ex-banker, but of course he's an ex Champions League winner, Jose Mourinho. Anyway, that was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Now to the present, or almost close, so close to the present that it's still, images are still very, very much vivid and clear in my head. Lazio taking on Inter Milan. It was always going to be fire. It was always going to be a lot of fireworks. Maybe not so in terms of cautions, because of how feisty it was, but of course it was end-to-end stuff. Every minute there was an action in either 18-yard area, and I'm not even joking. It was breathtaking. It was pretty much difficult to follow up with at some point, because 1 minute Felipe Anderson is destroying Di Marzio now, on the right hand side, cutting from the right, you know, and creating chances for the likes of Ciro Immobile and what's it called? And there's this tall guy now, I forgot his name, yeah, Savage, yeah, down the right. And on the left, you look at the other side of things. Once Inter Milan recover, Stefan De Vrij gets the ball from Handanovic, takes it to either Brozovic or Nicolo Barella. Perisic is picking up the ball, Dzeko dropping in deep to pick up the ball. They're also getting their way into the 18-yard area of Lazio. So it was end-to-end stuff. I think Inter scored first, cracked open the can with a penalty. Yes, it was another penalty. I'm trying to see. Yes, it was another penalty. Yes, there was another penalty again in the second half. Inter scored theirs in the first, Lazio scored theirs in the second, and it was quiet until the 80th minute, where two goals were scored in 10 minutes. I'm talking about Felipe Anderson in the 81st minute and Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, who I think was brilliant on the day. His height, I wonder how he manages his height with his strides. When he moves on the ball, he reminds me of a certain Paul Pogba, and it's no wonder that some football score apps gave him as high as 8.2, or ranked him as high as 8.2 in that game. Well, that was the end-to-end stuff at the Capital. We're speaking about the Devils, how the Devils were massacred by the Foxes. I'm trying to see. Yes, Barcelona, Valencia. I particularly enjoyed the goal scored by Ansu Fati. Fati? Not Fati. It's Fati, right? F-A-T-I. Yeah, that's Fati. Yeah. And I don't know. Barcelona? Maybe. But just the last time they won a game, and we were thinking they were back. Of course, you know how we ended. We ended with a 3-goal loss to a certain Portuguese side. So, I'm keeping my hopes up for nothing for this one. I'm just going to cross my hands and see how this one plays out. Which other game am I missing out? Oh, yes. The defibrillator. Is it defibrillator? Yes. The one that needed a defibrillator and the one that featured a first goal from a certain Hurricane. Thank God for VAR. If not, I think that goal would have been ruled out. And before that game, who played? No, was it Newcastle? That was Newcastle Tottenham, yes. But there was a second Premier League game on the afternoon. Yes, before that, there was Everton West Ham. Oh, I was expecting a lot of goals from that game. But then again, well, the Hammers just stole it right under the nose of the Evertonian. And I'm not sure how the English Premier League table looks like now. I don't know. So I think Liverpool is top. But then again, who cares? It's still 7 games in thereabouts. So there's still plenty to go around for everybody, especially when you consider the fact that we're in October, yes, and November, just after the international break in November, it's going to get crazy till say February when the FA Champions League returns. I don't think there will be any holidays for any English Premier League side. Of course, we don't know about the German Bundesliga and the Spanish La Liga. Oh, German Bundesliga, first place beat second place 5-1. Yeah, I think they already scored 5 in the first half of the game, which made it kind of like awkward. Yeah, 5 goals. Bayern Munich scored 5 goals. It was 5 goals in 34 minutes. Robert Lewandowski got it first in the 3rd minute, then he got another in the 30th minute. Then Thomas Muller added the 3rd and 34th. Serge Gnabry? I think so. Got his double in the 35th and the 37th minutes before Patrick Schick. Patrick Schick has been on fire. I need to check the stats of this guy. He's been doing well for Bayer Leverkusen. This season, I dare say, should be ranking one of the top players in the German Bundesliga this season, this campaign. Look at it. He has played 8. He has started all 8. He has averaged 78 minutes per game. And guess what? He has scored 7 goals. 7 goals in 8 games. Maybe that may not be necessarily touching, what's it called now? Of course, the pole in Bavaria. I'm talking about Robert Lewandowski. But then again, let me see. Okay, Haaland is on 9. Oh, it's not even very far away. Haaland is on 9 goals. Robert Lewandowski is on 9 goals. Patrick Schick is on 7 goals. Oh, well, I mean, looks pretty. After how many games? After 8 games. So basically, these boys are what? Averaging 1 goal every game. Yeah, what's it called now? The distance in the German Bundesliga, table wise, performance wise, might be very, very, between sides, might be very, very wide. I see players keeping up. Then there's Taiwo Awoniyi, who has scored 6 goals. Gnabry has scored 5. Florian Wirtz has scored 4. And Florian Wirtz, coincidentally, has the highest amount of assists with 6 goals. Guess who he plays for? Yes, the second place team. Sorry, the third now, after they lost to Bayern Munich. The Bayern Leverkusen. I think one thing the Bayern Leverkusen does is they have a very, very crazy social media team, just like Manchester City. They understand the job fully well. I think they were still going berserk as of last week when they were. There was one about somebody sent them a tweet and said, "You always sell your best product to." Is it to Bayern Munich or something? You've never produced any quality player. And they literally reply something around the latest quality player we sold or produced, I think, literally scored the UEFA Champions League winning goal for Chelsea. Yeah, that's right. Remember Kai Havertz, right? Well, the things we see as football fans, the things we see when we try to go deeper and see things beyond the pitch and the monitor things, especially that are happening on social media. Yeah, speaking of social media, Paul Pogba, well, yes, of course, traditional media carried it first, but then again, spilled over to social media where it said Manchester United deserve to lose. I don't know what that means. Is that being candid, or would that affect the way the team, how do I call it, the camaraderie in the team for Manchester United? I mean, if Manchester United goes this long without winning games, then of course you know heads will roll and there will be questions asked. So what happens? But Ole has the backing of the management, according to Mr. Here We Go, Fabrizio Romano. So fans shouting Ole out. How long before Ole out? I mean, is the team comfortable? Are the players even comfortable with him at the helm of affairs? The way they were taken apart by the Foxes is the midfield was literally non-existent. I dare say Tillmans had a field day. There was plenty of room to run into part time whenever I received the ball. And you're probably wondering, maybe Fred was in there, if Scott was, Tomine was in there, maybe they would have been mobile enough to silence the Belgian, maybe they would have been mobile enough to stifle the likes of Kelechi Iheanacho at some point, shield the likes of Harry Maguire from having too much spotlight shown on him and shown on the fact that he was not 100% fit to be involved in that game. Maybe. But that's the game of football. There's a whole lot of maybes. Sometimes I sit down and I wonder. So in 2010, maybe Fares, if he didn't handle the ball, and probably Ghana played 11 versus 11, maybe, just maybe, they would have won. Maybe in regular time, not necessarily having to push it to extra time. So many maybes. What if Uncle Yakubu slotted that ball in? Maybe. So many maybe. I mean, what if Sergio Ramos did not score the equalizing goal against Atletico Madrid in the dying minute? So many ifs, buts, or maybes. But that's what makes football interesting, because after you've watched it, then you sit down and you sort through the long list of ifs, buts, or maybes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the First X Minutes podcast. If you have listened thus far, please endeavor to leave a rating wherever you get your podcast episodes from. More importantly, please leave a nice comment, or maybe not so nice comment, depending on how this podcast made you feel. Thirdly, please tell a friend that this is one hell of a football podcast that they should pay attention to. They should try as much as possible to listen in, because it's fun. And yeah, we will not give you anything out of the blue, but we definitely talk to you about football in a way that no other podcast does. Whatever you'll be doing in the days, in the weeks, in the months ahead, 2021 is going to close. I hope you have a lot of fun. I hope you stay safe. Most importantly, I hope you make the most use of your time, because while life is incredibly long, yep, you have it. That's right. Life is also incredibly short. I'll catch you in the next episode of the podcast. Cheers, my friends. Bye for now.